Testing. All right. Hey there, this is Rich Pav from http://www.heroflumjapan.com/. And I'm wiping the raindrops off my glasses. Gotta be careful when you wipe your raindrops off your glasses. You don't use a tissue that has lotion in it because it's counterproductive. It makes your lenses dry. It makes everything cloudy. I'm home right now, and nobody else is home. Home in Tokyo. I sublet a room from a house in a nice neighborhood. From a guy who works from home in finance. And his family, his wife and his two kids, live in Canada. So he spends some of his time in Japan and some of his time in Canada. And he also sublets another room out to a guy from Australia who also works in finance. And my landlord's Japanese, but he speaks English fluently. And my other roommate, housemate, is Australian. And evidently somebody peeled an apple today. And I'm doing the neighborly thing, cleaning it up. Now somebody also made tea. Wanted to show everybody by leaving the tea bags on the counter. I'm not complaining because I'm a big enough slob for the three of us. So tonight I went to a store on the way home from work called Yamaya. It's a really great store. It sells foreign food at decent prices and all kinds of alcohol. Inexpensive alcohol is what I buy. Expensive alcohol. I like to go in there and look at what the most expensive bottle of wine is. I can't imagine who's going to pay $300 or $500 or $700 for a bottle of wine. Because you know what? Whether you drink a cheap bottle of wine or an expensive bottle of wine, it all ends up as piss. Which is why I buy the cheap stuff. And it does the same thing. It gets you off. I was real stressed last week. I wasn't the one that was stressed at work. It was people around me that were stressed. And that was what makes me stressed. So I needed a little vacation. So I went to Yamaya and I bought this enormous bottle of red wine from Spain. It was, I don't know, Don Simon or something like that. I think Don Simon's a wino. And he makes some fine wino wine. Huge bottle. And I didn't use a glass, probably because all my glasses were dirty. So I just drank it from the bottle all night. You know, shooting the shit with my roommates. And then at about half past midnight, it comes time to throw up. And I was drinking because, you know, I needed some stress relief from work. So I puked everything up, even my socks. And I still, even after there was nothing left to puke, I was still puking. So I'm leaning over our disgusting, dirty toilet because our cleaning lady quit. I don't know, I guess she thought it was too difficult. And I'm looking down in the toilet at a shit stain. It's about 3 inches away from my nose. Retching. And I get this thought, you know what? Compare this to work. Work's not that bad. So I was happy. I was puking up my intestines and I could feel my toes wiggling in my throat. And I was kind of happy. And the next day I woke up with a terrible, horrible red wine hangover. And I felt good. And I had a good day at work the next day. So, just letting y'all know that, you know, having a really, really good retch is therapeutic sometimes. So tonight I'm going to make dinner. Actually, I did the same thing last night. I started a podcast just as I got off the train at my stop. And I did it all the way into the kitchen. Did a whole talk. Turned out pretty well. And I got to the end where I said, thanks for listening and hope to see you again soon. And I went to turn off the iRiver and realized that when I put the key, when I went to get my keys out of my pocket to unlock the door, I accidentally pressed the stop button on the iRiver. So I only had the first 7 minutes of the podcast. And it was the warming up part where I just start getting into it and stop talking out my ass. And everything else was great and I missed it. So basically I spent the whole night cooking and talking to myself. That's great. Well, so I'm going to do the same podcast I did last night. Let's see. I'm not making Japanese food tonight. I made Japanese food last night. I made my favorite spaghetti with tarako, which is fish eggs. They're like spicy. And so instead of using tomato sauce for your spaghetti, you have, I guess it was mentaiko. You have mentaiko and something else. I don't know. I bought it pre-made because I don't believe in cooking anything that takes longer to cook than it does to eat. So I just buy everything already made. And so you mix the tarako with the pasta, and then you put natto over it. And natto is the food most notorious in Japan for not being edible or even smellable, because what natto is, it's rotten soybeans. I mean, it's like really rotten soybeans. Like, imagine if you had a container of soybeans in your refrigerator and you forgot about it for like 10 years, and then you opened up the container and, you know, the smell just blew you away, and maybe you tried to play with it a little bit with a screwdriver or something, and it was all sticky and gooey and kind of like boogers. That's what natto is like. And it took me 3 years to get used to just the smell of natto. It used to show up in the school lunches when I taught English at Japanese junior high schools. And man, you walk into a classroom full of kids that are eating natto, and it just turns your stomach. I don't know what I did. I guess I just forced myself to eat it until I enjoyed it. I did the same thing with green tea. I couldn't stand green tea the first time I drank it because it's not sweet. It's bitter and not something you'd want to quench your thirst with. But one day I decided I was going to drink green tea until I liked it. And I did. I forced myself to drink it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and eventually I learned to like it, and that's what I drink all the time now instead of soda or something else. I always get green tea. If you have, I've heard that you can get green tea in America, but I've heard it's sweetened with honey. That sounds disgusting. Get out the big pan here. Fill it full of water. Adam Curry can spend 5 minutes looking for a magazine or fucking with his audio setup. I can make you listen to water being poured into a pan. And spaghetti. I bought 3 kilos of spaghetti tonight for something like $5. And it's made in Italy. So one thing I learned from my mother, was always buy Italian spaghetti, because the domestic stuff is, you know, might be a couple of pennies cheaper, but the, hey, let's turn the water on, too, before we put the spaghetti on. But the real stuff from Italy is cheap enough, and it always tastes better. So that's that. That's your lesson for today. All right. Put a lid on this. Oh, you know what? I got a huge bottle of olive oil too. This is, I learned from my friend Carl from university, is that you always want to get olive oil that's nice and dark, because that means it's one of the first pressings. As you press olive oil, it gets lighter and lighter, so the stuff that's dark has the most flavor. And I got a big bottle of it, nice and cheap. And you know how spaghetti boils over? Well, if you put olive oil in the water, it won't boil over. Salt does the same thing, but I kind of like doing olive oil. Right, so we got to get that ready to... Got to wait for that to boil. Okay. So what I talked about for like, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes last night was... the subject of men who grope women on crowded commuter trains. And this is the kind of topic that I don't think Japanese want foreigners to know about. It's like one of the dirty little secrets of Japan. And I hope nobody thinks that I'm giving Japan a bad name by talking about this in detail. I don't think I'm giving Japan a bad name. I think the men who do the groping give Japan a bad name. If they would stop, I wouldn't talk about it. It's so bad in Japan. I think it's pretty much safe to say that every woman in Japan has been groped on a train at one time in her life. I ran that theory across my wife, and she said, yeah, that's probably true. Let me check my mail there. So I'm going to tell you the story of the time when my wife got groped on a train in front of me and our children by a drunken middle-aged salaryman. So let me set the scene here. We were coming home pretty late at night from a Christmas party that was held by the company I used to work for, the big multinational company with lots of money and a name that everybody knows but I won't mention. We were about half the way home on the train, and there's a station where the commuter express and the local trains meet, so you can get off the local train and get on the commuter express. Both of our kids were in strollers at the time. And I had one stroller, my wife had the other. She got on the train before I did. And she went to sit down. The train wasn't too crowded. She went to sit down, and this guy that was sitting next to her put his hand down on the bench so that when she sat down, he was able to cop a feel. And that's what he did. And my wife jumps up, and she's pissed as hell. She's just, you know, beside herself, pissed. And she told me that, you know, that this guy was a pervert, and he felt her up. And the word for pervert in Japan is chikan. So, you know, I was kind of, you know, what do you do in this situation? Some drunken salaryman feels up your wife, and, you know, what's next? What do you do? So, yeah, I was pretty angry, and I stood in front of him. He was sitting down. I stood in front of him. And I just glared at him. And he was pretending to be unconscious or something like that. But I just kept glaring at him. And he would sort of glance up and then go back to pretending he was unconscious. And finally, I wasn't going to stop staring him down. He looked up and he cocks his head. And he smiles at me and raises his eyebrows like, hey, you know, I did it. What are you going to do about it? And that just set me off. Man, I don't do anger very well. I don't control anger very well, which is why I try to avoid it. And this was one of those situations where you can't avoid being angry. So I really went off. And I start screaming at him, of course, in English, because when you're really pissed off, you can't muster a good rant, a good tirade in a foreign language. So, well, what I said to him wasn't family safe, but it was quite loud. And he knew I was angry, and he just looks at me up at me and smiles again. And that was it. That was all it took. This is one of those situations where time slows down and you've got entire milliseconds to think about your next move. It's sort of the same as like when you get hit by a car when riding your bicycle. And I thought about, well, I want to punch this guy in the face. And I want to, you know, beat his face to a bloody pulp. But I can't do that. Because it's just his word against mine, and if he got off the train with his nose sticking out the other side of his head, and there was no, you know, it's not like there's going to be a hand mark on my wife's ass to show what he did, so I can't do that. So what I decided to do was to hit him across the face with the back of my hand, but as hard as I possibly could. So that's what I did. Backhanded him across the face as hard as I could, and screaming not family safe things to him at the same time. And all he does was just smile at me again. And that just set me off even more. So I hit him again. Right? And then I hit him again. And I'm just a complete wild man at this point. And somebody else on the train who speaks English, woman, says, stop, calm down, something like that. Which was probably good because I wasn't about to stop and calm down. I was about to make a fist and and finish the job. So, for the time being, because I'm just like so angry, I'm shaking. My wife moved to the opposite end of the train car with the kids, and I followed her over, and we were very quiet, and I was thinking about what to do about this. And after a few minutes, after I collected my wits, I decided I was going to go to the very last train car on the train and knock on the door of the conductor, the one that's not driving the train, because the one driving the train is in the front of the train, hopefully, right? So I knock on the door, and it's a woman conductor, which you don't see too many of in Japan. And I told her what happened, and she took it seriously. So she asked, you know, is the guy still on the train? I said, yes, and I'll show you where he is. She said, okay, hang on a minute. And what she did was she called up to Koga Station, which was, I think it was the next station. That was the station we were going to get off at, too, to warn ahead so that there would be someone there to meet us and also to call the police. So she went back with me to the train car where the guy was still sitting and told him that he was accused of being a chikan, and that he was going to have to get off at the next stop and go to the police station. And he didn't want anything to do with this. So the train stops quite shortly afterwards, and I can see that there are two or three JR, Japan Railways employees on the track waiting for us to get, on the platform waiting for us to get off. And they're going to apprehend this guy. Well, this guy looks out and sees what's going down, and he gets up and he starts walking through the train to another car to try to get away. And they're asking me, well, where is this guy? And I was running up the train on the platform, pointing out where he was, and they got him, and he sort of resisted, and I was hoping he would resist enough that I could really beat the shit out of him. But he didn't, and they also kept me away from him because I guess they understood how I felt. So we went down to the office and the train station and waited a while there for the police to come, and then we went to the police station. He was taken in a patrol car, and I think we went in our car to the police station. And this is not the end of the story. This isn't even close to the end of the story. We were in the police station probably till about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. They separated everyone. They put him in a jail cell. They separated my wife, and someone else talked to me because, you know, they want to corroborate our stories. And I was a little worried about the fact that I'd hit him because I don't know if that's legal. You know, even if your wife is felled up, are you allowed to smack the guy in the face 3 times as hard as you can? So I told my wife at some point, I said, you know, don't mention anything about me hitting him in the face. We were just going to keep that a secret. So I had to sit down with a police officer and explain the whole thing in excruciating detail. They wanted me to describe the man from head to toe. You know, what was his hair like? What kind of glasses was he wearing? What was the color of his suit and his shirt and his tie? And you know what? When something happens like that, you're not thinking about memorizing what the guy looks like or what he was wearing. So here's the first thing I learned. If you're groped on a train and you know who did it, the first thing you do is you take out your camera phone and you take the fucker's picture. Right? And probably an extra bonus action would be to record a message on your cell phone if it does that. A lot of them do that. You can leave yourself a voice message and just explain everything, every detail you can think of about what happened, and record it and keep it with you, because you're going to have to remember that stuff when you go to the police station. And they are not going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You really have to do something that's or say something that's going to convince them that this guy was guilty. The one question he asked me that really annoyed me was, did he seem drunk? And I don't care if he was drunk or not, that's not an excuse. So I said, I don't know if he was drunk because I didn't see him drinking. And he said, well, did he act drunk? And I said, you know, I don't know this guy, I don't know what he's like, you know, normally. Maybe he acts that way all the time, or not, I have no idea. But as far as I know, he wasn't drunk. I have no way to prove that he was drunk. Is the spaghetti ready? And I refuse to say yes, he was drunk, because I don't want them to be able to use that as an excuse. No, spaghetti's not ready. So he gets done interviewing me, and I just really didn't feel like the guy was convinced. And he comes back about half an hour later, and he says, well, we talked to the guy, and he says that he didn't do anything. That, you know, maybe his hand was, you know, leaning to, just, you know, flopped at his side, and my wife accidentally sat on it. And that's not what happened. My wife wouldn't have gotten that upset if that's what had happened. So I pulled out my trump card and I said, you know, I sort of like confessed. I said, well, I did hit the guy 3 times in the face and he definitely felt it. And I showed the policeman exactly how I hit him. I didn't hit the policeman, but I just showed him the motion and said I did it as hard as I could 3 times. And he immediately gets up. And he goes back to the cops that are holding this guy in the cell. And he comes back a little bit later and he says, yeah, we're going to arrest him. And we were able to leave then. And the next day, I didn't go to work because I was just, I don't know, upset. I don't, like I said, I don't do anger well. It just sort of makes me break or something. Makes me shut down. I spent the whole rest of the day in bed. Because, I don't know, I just, like, had this serious bout of depression over it.
This is the spaghetti again.
And my wife was worried about me. And we were texting each other through our cell phones. And the thing that I realized was, you know what? The thing we have to do about this is we have to forgive him. Because, you know, not just for him, but to do it for ourselves. Because, you know, this hate and anger and resentment isn't going to do anything for us. And my wife says, you know, that's an amazing thing to say. I mean, I really respect you for punching him, because if you hadn't done it, I would have. And she just said that was a very noble thing to do. So over the next few couple of days, we're getting phone calls from the guy's boss, his wife, his brother-in-law, his lawyer, and they're all extremely, extremely apologetic. You know, and when something happens, you know, when someone in your family does something shameful, it brings shame on your entire family in Japan. It's not this, you know, everyone for themselves and in America and try everything you can to get out of it. So basically they wanted to settle out of court. And because, you know, going through the court system, he can get in a whole lot of trouble. He's in enough trouble already. I mean, geez, I don't know if he lost his job over that. You know, I'm sure everyone in his office knew what he did. So they proposed that we settle out of court. And the one question we had was, you know, well, if we settle out of court, is he just going to get away scot-free? I mean, is he just going to pay us money and you know, have no reason not to do the same thing again? The answer is no. That if they do settle out of court, it still stays on his record. And if he ever does it again, he's in really deep trouble. So, it's like, it was almost a week. And this guy was still in jail for this. So, we set up a meeting with his lawyer and his wife. And they're going to hand over a lump of money and make us sign a paper saying that we will settle out of court. We didn't want him to know where we lived. So we did the meeting at my sister-in-law's house, which is down the street. And it was an extremely painful meeting because his family is just as much of a victim of this as we were. And they were completely humiliated and ashamed. And the degree to which they apologized, ouch, God, wooden chopsticks can get really hot. The chopsticks used for cooking, they have like a, they're connected by a little string at the top, and they're longer, and great for cooking spaghetti, but God damn, they get hot. It was just really uncomfortable to see how ashamed and embarrassed and, destroyed they were over this. Really felt bad for his wife. But so we sat down at the dining room table with them, and it was extremely comfortable. And they made us sign the paper, and then they gave us a
test of spaghetti guy.
And they gave us an envelope full of cash. So here's another little cultural thing. When you hand over cash to somebody, like say if you're paying your rent or something like that, you always put it in an envelope. That's just the way it's done. It's considered rude to just hand over bills. So remember that, in case you ever have to hand money to somebody, always put it in an envelope. And the envelopes are right next to the ATM machines. Anyway, we got probably the equivalent of about $5,000 not to put the guy in jail. And it was over. And that was it. Never saw the guy again. But I hope he got help. Because somebody who does that kind of stuff when they're drunk has a psychological problem. So here's what I learned. Ouch! First thing. Don't touch the side of the pan holding your hot spaghetti. First of all, you got to stand up for yourself because no one else is going to do it. When something happens in a train that makes other people uncomfortable, what they will do is do their best to ignore it. They'll pretend to be asleep. They'll pretend it's not happening. And they'll all say, gee, somebody should do something about this. And when you're in a situation where somebody should do something about this and nobody's doing something about this, it's your obligation to stand up and do something about it. I'm pouring this... That didn't work. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to be assertive. And I think the fact that women who are groped on trains are not assertive perpetuates the whole problem. You really have to be proactive and do something about it. And, you know, if you're in the monetary award, well, you know, think about that, I guess. I was more into getting this guy to not do it again. Oh, our colander's too small. Right. And the second thing, as I mentioned, was make sure that you have a very vivid description in your mind of what the criminal looks like, and take a picture if you can. And one thing you might want to say to the police officer, if he doesn't seem very sympathetic, is, if it was your wife instead of my wife, how would you feel? Because police officers deal with this stuff all the time, and they sort of disconnect from it emotionally. And you want them to be connected to you emotionally and understand how you feel. Right. So, train groping is so bad in Japan. They have a poster campaign in a lot of the train stations that say, "Chikan and violent people who do violent things on trains are absolutely unforgivable," and stuff like that. It's, you know, sort of like the poster is, it conveys the message that it's not condoned. And can you imagine that? They have to actually put up a poster saying, "Don't grope women on trains." And not only that, but there are some trains where the last car on the train is reserved for women during rush hour and during late at night. And it's called a women-only car. I have a picture of it up at Flickr. I guess I'll put it up on this podcast. So I don't want people to think that every time that they get on a crowded train in Japan, they're going to get groped. It doesn't happen every time, but it does happen. And don't be more cowardly than the man doing the groping. Stand up for yourself. Right, my spaghetti's ready. I got pesto sauce. I love pesto sauce. Makes the whole house stink. That's not why I love it, but it does make the whole house stink. And my Australian housemate doesn't like it. That's his problem. All right. So, that's my story for today. I figured I had to do something. I haven't put out a podcast in so long. There's two reasons, really. One reason is because I'm really busy at work, and the other reason is because I'm actually very shy, and I'm not as much. I'm not a big enough attention whore to be a good podcaster. I mean, there are people who can shit out a podcast like every couple of days because they have the need to draw attention to themselves, I guess. And I'm very not that kind of person. And that's the reason why I'm doing the podcast, because I'm way too shy, and I'm way too anxious, and I want to get over it. Getting the rest of the spaghetti out of here. So, what I focus on when I do a podcast, I just try to think of the people who I know personally, you know, the people who write on the blogs, and I think about talking to them instead of talking to 1,000 people. Whoop. Didn't shake the water out of the colander. And that makes it a little bit more, it makes it a little less unnerving. I think I can see if this beard will fit in this bowl. No! I cooked too much spaghetti. That's no problem, I'll eat it all. This bowl of spaghetti will be dessert. So, truth be told, I'm actually painfully shy. And which is hard to believe when I look at some of the videos I've made and listen to the Akasaka sound scene tour when I did karaoke by myself. But I had a lot of alcohol in me that night. So anyway, I got show notes here. Here we go. Thing I don't want to forget to say is thank you to everyone who donated money to the cause through PayPal. I really appreciate it. It's a really, really nice gesture. And I'm sorry I didn't say thank you before then. Let's see what else I have. Yeah, I have these show notes, but I can't read my own writing, so it's the same as not having any show notes. The last thing is, I need to make a promo for Hero from Japan, because people have been asking for it. Well, a person has been asking for it. So, what I would like to do, since I'm not very good at tooting my own horn, is I would like you to toot my horn for me. I'm going to set up a Skype account with the username HeroFlumJapan. What I would like you to do is to call up that Skype account and leave a phone message. And for the phone message, answer the question, why do you listen to my podcast? Because, honest to God, I sometimes can't figure it out. And then I will edit those together into a promo. Okay. All right. So I'm gonna eat my stinky pesto, and I will try tonight to get through some of the backlog of video and audio that I have, and put something up. Probably some video. Sorry. That's what I'll do after I finish eating. Okay, so this has been my very low-key podcast for today. And I hope you don't mind, because if I don't do it, I'm not going to do it, basically. So I just have to, you know, do it and say fuck it. So that's it. All right. Signing off. Thank you. Goodbye.